Good morning.
Good morning.
Call to order this March 27th, 2025 meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in and witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah ZBA are recorded. Decisions of this board are final. Challenges to decisions of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have any cell phones or noise making devices, if you will, please silence them at this time. If you would join me, we're going to have the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, we just thank you for this day to come and join together to do the business of this city. Lord, we thank you for your presence here and the privilege of living here. Lord, I ask that you give us wisdom, help us make right decisions, help us to hear the things that are being said and to process them properly. Lord, I just thank you and I ask you to blessings on the marriages and families of Savannah and Chatham County. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. If you are here, you plan on speaking or giving testimony today, if you will, please stand. If you're at home, please do this as well. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth. Repeat. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Thank you. We have two items that have requested to be removed from the final agenda. That is 0 East 32nd Street. 25-001006 and 1605 and 1607 LeGrand Street, 25-001041. Is there a motion to remove these from final agenda?
I so move.
All right, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to remove these from final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, second by Mr. Condon. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk, are you online? All right, Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes and these items will be removed. Next, we're going to have the approval of the minutes from the February 27th meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Condon to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second
by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the minutes are approved. Do I have a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Condon to approve the final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jones. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk? Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes and agenda is approved. First, we're going to hear 107 Cockle Shell Road. This is a variance to fence height 25-000796.
Good morning, Mr. Merriman and members of the board. My name is Sadie Ish Laurent with Development Services, here to talk about 107 Cockle Shell Road. So the petitioner is requesting a variance for an existing fence that exceeds the permitted height of 4 feet and does not meet the design standards of additional permitted height well forward of the primary dwelling's front facade in the RSF 6 zoning district. Here's the aerial and site map. So the property is located in the neighborhood of Wild Heron Plantation, Southern Woods, and Habersham Plantation. According to the Chatham County Tax Assessor, it says the property is approximately 12,900 square feet with 125 feet of frontage by depth ranging of 72 to 137 feet based on the shape of the parcel, and the parcel is conforming. The principal dwelling is also conforming and was built in 2019, and it has a building footprint of approximately 1,300 square feet. So in the zoning ordinance section 9.6.4.D.II.1 states front yard and side street yards when forward of the front facade have a 4 feet maximum, and additional height may be permitted if the design standards of 964EIV are met. And that section says the following design standards apply to fences and walls within the front yard of residential and mixed uses that exceed 4 feet in height. The maximum height of the fence or wall shall be 6 feet. For the purpose of this fence location, the height shall be measured to the top of the poster column, and the overall design of the area of the fence or wall above 3 feet in height shall be a minimum of 70% open. So the petitioner is requesting a variance for their existing fence of 6 feet that exceeds this permitted 4 feet for a fully opaque fence while forward of the primary building's front facade. No portion of the fence is transparent and thus does not meet the standard for additional permitted height. Additionally, the fence is flush with the front facade for approximately 3 feet before extending the rest of the way. Moving on to the analysis portion, the proposal is not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance. And while the parcel is uniquely shaped, it doesn't have a bearing on the fence request, and the request is also likely not financial in nature. And lastly, approval would confer special privilege upon the petitioner. Here is a photo of the fence placement. So in conclusion, MPC staff recommends denial of the requested variance for an existing fence that exceeds the permitted height of 4 feet and does not meet the design standards of additional permitted height or forward of the primary dwelling's front facade in the RSF 6 zoning district.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for staff? The petitioner, please come forward and state your name for the record.
Good morning. My name is Brooke Novak.
Good morning. You'd like to see?
Yes. So I submitted several photos. Are they all within? Just so, because I want you guys to see the full picture of. So this particular photo that she's showing is if you're standing, if you saw the entire plot, you would be almost in the driveway. So the fence, if this is the home, right? And that photo, like, is taken from here. The fence is over here, if that makes sense. Because when I had first called and spoken to people, they had said that it, one of the issues that...
Is this one?
Yeah, yep. Okay. So scroll. Oh, I can... Okay. Oh, do I gotta use the mouse? Okay. So one of the issues that arose was, could we still see the front of the door? Was the big question. And I said, yes. I said, the... While it is forward of the front facade of the house, it is not in front of the home. Does that make sense? Am I explaining? With the picture, does this make sense? Okay. So to meet the standards that the zoning is, I guess, requesting that I do, is they want me to push this whole fence. This is a little easier, right? They want me to move the front of this fence line that's with this walkway currently back to the front of the home. Does that make, do we, oh, okay. So if I do that, if I bring that 6 foot fence and I put new posts and I push it back, it's approximately 800 square feet of yard that I lose by that space. That space right there is about 11 by, let's say 70 feet all the way down. This is what you're, see, it extends all the way down. And there's no home on that side of the property because it butts up to their then side yard and then their home. So, what they've told me is that in order for it to be a true privacy fence, which has no opaque, like she was explaining, it would need to be flush with the front of this home. But what I'm saying is that if I push it back to be flush with the front of the home, I'm going to significantly lose probably a third of that whole lot that's enclosed because the lot's not very big. The whole property, I think, is 0.33 acres. So to lose 800 square feet of privacy yard would be substantial. And like I said, since you're not blocking that, I took a picture from all the way out in the street. So you guys can see, you can still see the front of the house, the walkway, the driveway, the front door, all the things that I thought would pose some form of a safety concern as regards to the fence. The whole point of having the fence be 6 feet and not be opaque is it's a privacy fence. If I cut it down to 4 feet, defeats the whole purpose of having a fence, if that makes sense. And like I said, if I move it back, I'm losing a substantial amount of private properties, you know, if I'm making sense. I had included several different letters from my neighbors. I don't know if you guys have them. You do? Okay, I'll say I printed them. Because I went to my neighbors, I was like, hey, I'm applying for this. You know, if you don't mind writing me a letter, they're going to want to know, does the neighborhood agree with the placement and the look and all these things of this fence? Do you guys have any questions for me?
How long has this been in place?
Probably about a year now. It's fair. I'll say it's fairly. We didn't. I mean, I put it in after we bought the home.
If you built it in kind of in ignorance of what the zoning ordinance requires.
So when I called and I did the 1-800 dig and I did all those, like looked up the zoning, this particular section about being forward or the front facade is not in the same like code section as height and building materials and things of that nature. So it was just overlooked. I saw the setback limits and it meets those standards and the types of materials you could use and all those nature of things. I just completely missed the part about it being flush with the front of the facade until it was already up. Just like I said, because it was just in a different part. Cause I had called and asked, you know, hey, am I going to need a permit? And they said, no, cause it's under six, you know, it's under 7 feet is what they told me, is I don't need a permit. And so it was just something that had to be overlooked. And we debated going flush with the front of the home or flush with this walkway. I mean, this is something we kind of like within our household went back and forth on. We're like, what like utilizes the most space and like looks appropriate to the property, you know, cause we went out and measured, okay, it has to be so many feet back from the curb to meet the setback limit. And we were like, if we do it front with the flush, that's a lot. Like we taped it and like, you know, looked at it for a while and we're like, that's a lot of like land that we're not using then, cause it just becomes front yard space. And since this walkway was already in place in the front of the home, and if you come all the way, you can kind of see in the corner of this picture where the steps and the concrete was, that was all like already built when the house was put in. So I was like, it just makes sense to put this flush with this walkway and just, you know, cause there's like, this is a gate. You can actually enter the side yard from this walkway that continues with this concrete.
Okay. Any other questions for petitioner? Go ahead, Mr. Conner.
How did you end up here today? What happened that you are here today?
Last summer, I believe it was, we were building a garden and a fishing pond, or not a fishing pond, a pond in this side yard. And my neighbors didn't like the way it looked. And so they called not the zoning people, but they called and were like, hey, this person has debris in their yard. So they've cited me for, you know, this, that, and the other. And then I went and talked to my neighbors. I was like, hey, you know, like what's our discrepancy here? And they were like, if you put a 6-foot privacy fence up in your yard where we can't see your garden and your fish pond and all this, they're like, we'd be happy. And so I built the fence as a request of my neighbors, wanting to aesthetically from their side see what matched the neighborhood. That's how I ended up here, is because
well, you built the fence after the fact. What I'm trying to find out is, did code enforcement come in and
yes,
and talk
so
to you?
So in between the time of the neighbors calling about the debris in the side yard and the fence coming up, then that was when code enforcement said, oh, this fence is not within compliance, and that's kind of what started a separate thing that was not what initially, like I said.
Do you have an HOA out there?
I do not.
Any other questions for petitioner? Okay. Thank you very much.
You want me to sit down?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any members of the public that wish to speak concerning this petition? Are there any online? Okay, well. We'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Not really. I am wondering if, due to the shape of the lot, this would make sense or it wouldn't make sense some other way. But if there are examples in the neighborhood that would support this change, but yeah, that's it.
The issue then is the height of the fence, and also the fact that it's proud of the primary structure. Those are the two issues that we're dealing with.
Right.
Okay.
If it was 4 feet tall, it would be okay. And if it was set back where that dog leg is, to that point there, it would be okay. But it's all the way out front.
Mr. Condon, do you have anything you want to say about it?
The letters from the neighbors, can you pull those up?
There's at least one on there.
And there's three total.
Do you have all three?
Yeah, I was just waiting to see until everyone finished reading this one. Okay.
So it appears as though the neighbors are not concerned about it.
This one is more of a negative. Yeah. But some of this is not really regarding the fence.
Oh.
Okay.
I have two that I guess if she has three.
Yeah. We're in the board discussion now. Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Just that two of the neighbors do seem to be in favor, but one does not. So just so that it's a good understanding of how the neighbors feel, it may be split.
Mrs. Jones?
The only thing that I thought about was could that side of the fence be lower? Lowered to what, the 4 feet?
Yeah, that's what the ordinance says that they should do, but also the ordinance says they have to move it back so it's not sticking out proud of the house. Do you have anything else you want to add?
It can be in front as long as it's 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
It just can't be in front if it's,
Okay.
It just can't be in front if it's over 4 feet.
Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think there's two options that she can take to conform it. Either move it back, keep it at 6 feet, or keep it where it is and make it 4. I mean, I think that's where I am.
Would anybody care to make a motion?
You can make a motion, sir.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I want to accept staff's proposal. How can we make that motion to... I guess just make a motion that it needs to be a conforming fence. I mean.
Well, I think if
you'd be denying
the petition, then that's the only option.
I'll make a motion to accept staff's position.
All right. Mr. Griffith has made a motion to accept staff's recommendation by denying the request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Is there any discussion on this motion? All right, Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Mr. Griffith.
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and request for variance is denied. Next, we're going to hear 105 West Quail Forest Court, variance to front yard setback 25-001065.
Well, this is Sadie Eschlerant again with Development Services, here to talk about 105 West Quail Forest Court. The petitioner is requesting a variance to the front yard setback from 20 feet to 5 feet to install a carport within the front yard of a dwelling in the RSF5 zoning district. Here is the aerial and site map. So the property is located in the Largo Woods and Quail Forest neighborhood. According to the Chatham County Tax Assessor, it says the property is approximately 6,570 square feet. It is zoned RSF5 and is conforming. It has varying lengths of frontage and depth due to the shape of the parcel. Additionally, the principal dwelling was built in 1988 and is conforming. It has a building footprint of approximately 1,614 square feet. Additionally, per the information received from the petitioner, a member of the household is disabled. The variance for the carport is being requested to help facilitate a safe entrance into the house. And according to Section 5.7.5 of the zoning ordinance, it requires minimum front yard setbacks of 20 feet. The petitioner is requesting to encroach into the front yard setback by 15 feet to build an attached carport, which is proposed to be about 20 feet by 24 feet. It's important to note that there is a 10-foot utility easement in front of the subject property. The proposed 5-foot front yard setback and the 10-foot utility easement would leave 15 feet between the proposed carport and the public right-of-way. Moving on to the analysis, the proposal is not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance, and the variance is likely not financial in nature. Additionally, the approval would confer special privilege upon the property owner. And then here's a photo of the proposed carport size, as well as a staff depiction of about the carport size of where it would be located in relation to the right-of-way. So in conclusion, MPC staff recommends denial of the requested variance to the front yard setback from 20 feet to 5 feet to install a carport within the front yard of a dwelling in the RSF 5 zoning district. However, if the board is inclined to support the variance request, MPC staff recommends the following condition. The size of the carport shall be constructed in a manner that maintains visibility for the traffic managing or navigating Quail Forest Court.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good morning. My name is morning. Bonnie Taylor.
Good morning.
Good Taylor. Morning.
Would you like to say anything?
Excuse me?
Would you like to say something?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
My husband and I, Verna Taylor, are requesting a 15-foot property reduction setback of the front yard to install the carport. We've lived in our home for 32 years, and my husband's a disabled veteran. He served 10 years in the military, and he has some injuries from being in the military. He enlisted back in the 70s when, back then, if you got injured, you didn't go to the hospital. You rubbed some dirt on it, and you kept going. So he has some injuries from that, and one day last year, he was going to get in the car, had been raining, and he slipped and fell into the car. And I'm sorry, my voice is shaky because I'm nervous. I haven't done this before. But he fell into the car and dented the car, but thank goodness the car was there because it broke his fall. Otherwise, he would have hit the concrete and been seriously injured. So at that point, we decided we would like to install a carport for that not to happen again. We did discuss it with our neighbors, and several of them wrote letters of support. Well, I've typed up a letter, and they signed it. Also, I submitted pictures. There are other homes in our neighborhood that have existing carports already that do not meet the 20-foot property setback. So I submitted those pictures as well to show it's already existing in our neighborhood. So we're just, we want to be able to stay in our home, and so I'm trying to do what we can to prevent any further injuries from my husband.
This one that you want to build, will the sides be open on it?
It will be an unenclosed carport, just the roof. We're going to have it attached to the house because they said you cannot have a detached property in the front. So it will be attached to the home and just have a pole supporting it.
And shingled roof just like the house?
No, it's going to be like a vinyl roof. Mm-hmm. And then it will have gutters as well for the drainage of the water, rain.
Okay. Are there any questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that wish to speak concerning this petition? I understand there are none online either. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
If we were to rule against, it seems there's got to be a way to make a safe path to the car that does not involve building a carport in the setback, but yeah, I'm not sure.
Mr. Condon?
Normally, I am not in favor of such things, to be fair. This may be a special situation, given that we have a, you know, disabled vet who, as he's aging in his home, needs to keep his driveway clear of things, his gutters, that shows the intent to keep the water off the driveway. So it sounds to me to be sort of a bit of a deception.
Mr. Turner?
I would say that the examples that was provided in the application do seem like what they're trying to build would fit the makeup of the neighborhood, and it wouldn't be out of the ordinary.
Current development patterns, even though they may be also in violation. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Jones?
With the exception that they that the board recommended, if the sides were open, and I think she said the sides would be open, and so it would be visible to the public. Makes it different.
Mr. Griffin?
I wish you didn't have to affix it to the house. I'm looking at this last example, and it does not appear to be affixed to the house. Hold on. Stop.
You think that having it not attached would be more favorable?
Yeah, I think that it could easily come and go at that point.
They move, they can take it down.
I mean, I understand the logic of, you know, saying it can't be unattached because you don't want to open that box either. But in this situation, that would be more appropriate in my mind.
Which would probably require another variance. I mean, if the ordinance says it has to be attached, doesn't it?
That's what I understood.
Yeah. Yeah. So would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we grant applicant's request to construct a carport with open sides, gutters, anything else anybody else has?
I think that covers the basis. Okay.
The staff request about the visibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's the open sides. Yeah.
So Mr. Condon has made a motion to grant the request for variance to build a carport, provided that there are open sides and gutters. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear 2142 East 42nd. This is variances for accessory dwelling unit minimum lot area, accessory dwelling unit building footprint, and accessory dwelling unit rear setback, 25-001068.
This is Sadie Ashlerent again, here to talk about 2142 East 42nd Street. So the petitioner is requesting three variances associated with converting an existing accessory structure into an ADU within the RSF6 zoning district. First one is to reduce the minimum lot size requirement of 125% to 100% to establish an ADU. The second is to exceed the 40% square footage maximum in relation to the principal dwelling and the 700 square foot maximum floor area for an ADU. And the third is to reduce the rear setback of an ADU from 3 feet to 0 feet. Here is the aerial on the site map. So the property is located in the Victory Heights neighborhood. According to the Chatham County Tax Assessor, it says the property is approximately 6,000 square feet. It is conforming in the RSF6 zoning district with 60 feet of frontage and 100 feet of depth, and it has lane access. The principal dwelling is conforming and was built in 1941. It has a building footprint of approximately 1,025 square feet. There is an existing accessory structure that was built in 1985. It measures approximately 720 square feet, 30 feet by 24 feet. The petitioner is proposing to convert this into an ADU and will retain two parking spaces. So for the first request, the section of the zoning ordinance that is applicable is section 874B, which says for RSIP zoning districts, the minimum lot size for such use shall be at least 125% of the minimum lot area required by the zoning district. And for this case, the subject property of 6,000 square feet has 100% lot size for the zoning district, where 7,500 would be needed. The second variance, the section 874D, says the building footprint of the accessory dwelling unit shall be a maximum of 40% of the building footprint of the principal dwelling, not to exceed 700 square feet. So in this case, the ADU would have a building footprint of 70% of the principal dwelling and exceed the 700 square footage maximum by 20 square feet. And lastly, for the third variance, section 874AIII says detached accessory dwelling units shall have a rear yard setback requirement of at least 5 feet, provided that if the accessory dwelling is located on a lot that abuts a lane, the rear yard setback requirement shall be at least 3 feet, which is applicable to this case, and the petitioner is requesting a 0-foot setback from the lane. So moving on to the analysis portion, the lot area variance is consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance because it is a standard that can be varied by the ZBA. However, the building footprint and rear setback variances are not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance. Additionally, the accessory structure already exists on the property in the same physical form that it would be as an ADU and was built before the adoption of NUZO. Additionally, the request is likely financially motivated, and the approval would confer special privilege upon the property owner. So here is a photo of the accessory structure proposed to turn to an ADU. And in conclusion, MPC staff recommends approval of the requested three variances with the following condition: to install gutters to prevent runoff.
So the building in the picture is, they're going to just turn that into an ADU. It's already on the zero lot line for the setback. And it pretty much, I'm asking, is it consistent with development patterns in the area?
During the time, yes. But that is correct, that it would stay in like the same physical form, and it's already on the 0-foot lot line in the rear setback.
Any other questions for staff? All right, thank you very much. Mr. Yellen, you want to come forward?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. Josh Yellen, representing the applicant, which is Roos Holdings. I was going to just show a better picture for y'all. Put this more in context. All right. We'll get there eventually. There we go. This is the existing accessory structure. I think it's important to note that the variances that we are seeking would also apply if this garage were to be built today, that an accessory structure also has a 40% threshold requirement for the primary structure. This garage could not be built today. We're trying to make this site conforming, but to make it conforming, we're here to ask the variances for an ADU. This request is not uncommon for the area. I think even at your last ZBA meeting, there was an ADU request 3 blocks from this site. There are numerous examples of these garages that have been legally or not utilized as ADUs in the vicinity, but there was some misconception, I think, in the letters received against the project. There were letters, I'll be transparent on that, that were against this, but they believed that this was new construction and it would eat up the existing yard space for the tenants in the primary house. I just want to make clear that that is not the case. This is an existing structure that is there. That structure is, we believe, would be better utilized as an accessory dwelling unit, particularly with the needs in the community for more dwelling units. It's not going to increase any encroachment. We're just converting what is there already to a dwelling unit, which to me is kind of the intent of the ADU ordinance. What you can see on the side, and it's kind of sticking out right there, there is still a curb cut and a driveway that permits the 2 cars. So this is not taking away any parking either. It is simply a conversion from an accessory structure to an accessory dwelling unit. And so we would respectfully request that you approve of the same, as has been recommended by staff. And we have no issue with the condition to install gutters on this building if it's converted.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Mr. Yellen? Thank you, sir. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Are there none online either?
No, sir.
Okay. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with staff. I mean, you know, the alternative for the site, you could scrape the whole thing and build a 5,000 square foot house there and it would be allowed, but that's certainly not a good idea, you know, reusing the existing structure and converting it into an accessory dwelling unit seems to make sense to me.
Mr. Condon?
I agree with Mr. Bill.
Mr. Turner?
No comment.
Mrs. Jones?
None.
Mr. Griffith?
It's a good project.
Someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion we approve staff's recommendation and grant variance with the gutters.
All right. Mr. Ball has made a motion to grant the variance according to staff recommendations and with the condition of adding the gutters. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Sorry.
Second by, I heard Mr. Condon first. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Griffith, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the variance is granted with one condition. Next, we're going to hear 814 West 39th Street. Variance to side setback 25-001089.
This is Sadie Eschlein again to talk about 814 West 39th Street. So the petitioner requests a variance to reduce the side yard setback from 3 feet to 0 feet in association with a proposed addition to the primary dwelling within the TR3 zoning district. Here is the aerial and site map of the parcel. So the property is located in the Kyler Brownville neighborhood and historic district. This application is associated with a request for a certificate of appropriateness 25-001042-COA. It was seen yesterday by the HPC where it was approved by their board and also recommended approval to ZBA. There's also historic staff here to discuss that if you would like to ask any questions to them. According to the Chatham County Tax Assessor, it says the property is approximately 3,510 square feet. The parcel is conforming in the TR3 zoning district with 30 feet of frontage and 117 feet of depth, and it also has lane access. The principal dwelling was built in 1920 with a building footprint of 1,189 square feet. It is nonconforming in its current state with 0 foot side setbacks. So section 5.9.5 of the zoning ordinance requires side yard setbacks of a minimum of 3 feet. The petitioner is requesting a 9x9 addition to the rear of the building, which would align with the current 0 foot setbacks. This would increase the footprint to 1,270 square feet. However, staff analysis revealed that the addition may be larger than that of the request. Additionally, it's important to note that the structure will maintain all other requirements, including lot coverage and rear setbacks. Moving on to the analysis portion, the request is not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance. However, the home was built prior to adoption of current development standards and was likely conforming at the time of its construction, and no other special conditions exist besides when the primary dwelling was built. Additionally, the request could be financially motivated, and the literal interpretation would not deprive the applicant of the same rights as others. However, the argument could be made that the structure was knowingly acquired in its nonconforming state, and it would confer special privilege as well. Here is a photo of the placement for the rear addition, just to get some perspective on it. And I'll also scroll down here. This was the plan submitted by the petitioner, along with these, and then this was staff's understanding of the additions as well, which is why it could potentially be larger. So in conclusion, the MPC staff recommends denial of the requested variance to reduce the side yard setback from 3 feet to 0 feet in association with a proposed addition to the primary dwelling within the TR3 zoning district.
Thank you very much. Are there questions for staff? Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward? Oh, I'm sorry. The petitioner is online. Mr. Joseph. Are you there, Mr. Joseph?
He's self-muted. Can you unmute yourself?
Can you hear me? I am here.
Yes, sir. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Well, I guess the only point that stood out to me that I would like to respond to, as far as the little bonus room addition would be 9x9. Because of the position in there's a mud room on the right side. We originally talked about extending the room out to the end of the building, but because of the mud room there, it's not really, it doesn't make sense. So we wanted to do the little 9x9 bonus room and then carry out the floor or a deck to the edge. And that, I think that's why it's showing on that plan that it would be extending to the very end. But that would be a proposed deck that, of course, all the drawings are in the package as well.
Okay. Are there any questions for the petitioner? All right, Mr. Joseph, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Are there any members of the public that wish to speak? All right, we don't have any. Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I do not.
Mrs. Jones?
No, not at this time.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
The couple things. First off, my concern with this is that I don't even know how you build it, to be fair. You know, you're talking about building something on a zero side lot line, which requires them to gain permission from the neighbor to be working in their yard, take the fence down. You know, and in addition to that, how do you maintain it? You know, if you have a dispute with your neighbor, you can't maintain your property. You know, I know they built these things back, you know, 80, 90, 100 years ago. You know, in those days, people thought you could build on the lot line. It's, as I look at it, you know, doing what I do for a living, I can see that that was an addition. It certainly wasn't part of the principal dwelling. So at some point, 50, 60, 70 years ago, they did it, but we know better nowadays. You know, in addition to that, even if it's a deck, that needs to be part of the variance application.
Yeah.
So I'm almost never in favor of a zero lot line on, especially the side yard.
There's no way I would want this next to me.
Right. No, it's just, it's not fair to the neighbor who's forced to go through the construction process, and it's not practical in terms of, you know, how do we maintain these things as we go along in the future. It's just a bad idea.
Thank you, Mr. Condon. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Will someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation and deny the application.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to deny the request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. There's no discussion on the motion. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
And Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the request for variance is denied. But, okay. All right, there are no other items on the agenda, so we will call this meeting adjourned.